The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
We're in 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, look at verse 7. The Bible says, "Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever if he be constant to do," watch what it says, "my commandments and my judgment as at this day." Of course, this is David. David now is getting ready to go home to be with the Lord. And as David is getting ready to go home to be with the Lord, what he is doing is he is reminding the people about how they're supposed to be constant. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to get the staff to return to the platform. Father, bless, we pray. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for the privilege to be able to come, be able to open a Bible tonight. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to be able to see some of the things that's happened here in 2015, and Lord, some of the goals that we have now for 2016. Thank you for the dear people tonight. Lord, I pray you'll bless now our gathering. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 7, the Bible says, "Moreover," I'm just going to read the first segment of it, "Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever." I'd like for you to underline or underscore this next phrase here where it says, "if he be constant." If he be constant. If he be constant. And I want to speak to you tonight on be constant. By the way, listen to me. Every teenager needs to be constant. I'm saying tonight that every mom needs to decide in 2016 that you're just going to be constant. Every dad needs to decide you're going to be constant. Every deacon needs to decide you are going to be constant in 2016. Every Sunday school teacher needs to remind yourself that you signed up. And man, we need you, so be constant. Every bus captain needs to decide, here's what I'm going to do 2016, I'm just going to be constant. Every choir member just needs to decide, here's what I'm going to do 2016, I'm going to be constant. Every nursery worker, every worker that's in our 57 different Sunday school classes just needs to decide, hey, I'm going to be constant with that particular age. Now why? Because that age needs you. Our children, that's a part of our choirs. You just need to decide as a child, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be constant. Often, as we traveled in evangelism for 12 years, people would ask my wife and I, they say, what is the key to raising children? Children that say, yes, ma'am. Children that say, no, ma'am. Children that have manners that say, yes, sir, and no, sir. It's not yeah, it's not huh, it's not all. No, it's yes, sir. We're not a huh, we're not a yeah. We're a sir and a ma'am. Why is it that your children do that? It's called being constant. It's called being constant. You know, it's important that we understand how important it is to God to be constant. Here, David is an older man. He's getting ready to die. Oftentimes, more than not, they would call the oldest son to that which was the bedside, and he would give instruction. In David's life, here's what happened. You understand that he was the youngest of the brothers. God passed over all the older brothers, came down to the youngest, and chose the youngest. You know what that shows me? Shows me that God's just looking for somebody that will serve him, that will have a surrendered heart. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what status you have in your family. God's looking for somebody that will simply rise up, surrender, and serve him. Now David is getting older. David is now in poor health. David is calling the family in, and there's something very noteworthy that you'll see about David. David, not only as he calls the family in, does he not lie in the bed anymore. He raises himself up. He puts himself into a chair. He struggles to get there, and as he gets into the chair, then he utters these words. Look in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, and verse 6. The Bible says, "And he said unto me," he said, Solomon, thy son, he says, "he shall build my house and my courts. I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father." Now watch what it says. "Moreover, he will establish his kingdom forever if he be constant and do my commandments and my judgments as at this day. And so what he's saying to his son, I'm getting ready to die. I'm getting ready to pass off the scene. I'm getting ready to complete my course. I'm getting ready to head to heaven. And he looks to the son and he says, now, son, I'll tell you, God will establish your kingdom forever if ye be constant. What he's saying is you just need to be there. Be faithful. Be somebody that doesn't give excuse. Isn't it funny? We'll give an excuse not to show up to church, but we never give an excuse when we're paid to show up on Monday. It's always on Sunday we get sick. And God's simply saying this, his work needs to be important. So be constant at it. Man, I hear about it all the time. Well, why didn't you, why weren't you at soul winning? Or why weren't you at church? Well, you know, preacher, I had a cold. Well, you know, I had to get my beauty sleep. Most people would say that. I say, look in the mirror. It didn't work. You know, but, you know, they give all of these excuses as to why they're not on time. Hey, used to be that church was important. It used to be that people could not wait to get to the house of God. It used to be that people were standing in line to get into the church house. It used to be that people didn't want to leave church early. They stayed around. They fellowshiped. They thought that fellowshipping was important and that fellowshipping was fun and fellowshipping is what Christians ought to do. But nowadays, everybody's in a hurry to get up and go do nothing. Can I say we ought to decide as children of God in 2016 that we're going to be constant. We're going to honor him with our presence. We're going to honor him with our Bible reading. We're going to honor him with our soul winning. We're going to honor him with our Sunday school attendance. We're going to honor him with our church attendance. We're going to honor him with our tithes and our offerings. By the way, he's important. You know your children watch you. Did you know that? You know the reason that your children might have trouble trusting God is because they don't see that you're trusting God enough to come to church faithful. You are the biggest stumbling block in your children's life. Now, if I were you, I wouldn't take that as a slap. I'd take that as an encouragement and a nudge from the Lord to be more constant. I mean, they're looking at you. One day you'll be lying in state in a casket. Children are going to walk by and they're going to say, man, let me tell you what I remember about dear old dad. Let me tell you what I remember about dear old mom. What are they going to say? Oh, I remember they tried to live for God, but just never got it down. Well, I remember that they come to church for a while, then they fall off. Come to church for a while. Man, I wish daddy would have loved God more. Is that what they're going to say? Man, I just wish mama would have got her act together more. I wish she would have loved God more than she loved her games on the video stuff. Wish she would have loved God more than watching the soap operas. Wish she would have loved God more than eating her way to an early death. Wish she would have loved God more than romancing her own body as she would try to become the next beauty queen. That never worked. You know, I mean, come on. We ought to decide that we're going to be constant. We ought to decide, hey, look, it doesn't matter. Hey, if you sneeze, say achoo, but come to church. Hey, look, the house of God ought to be important. The word of God ought to be important. You and I ought to decide that God is right, the world is wrong, and God is the one that deserves priority in our life. I'm saying, here's what we ought to do. Just decide we're going to be constant. David rose up, pulled himself out of the bed, pushed himself, made himself to sit in a chair. As he made himself, it hurt. It was discouraging, but he did it. And what he said to his son was remarkable. And he said, your kingdom will be established forever if you be constant. Luke chapter 12 and verse 37, the Bible said, blessed are those servants who the Lord, when he cometh, watch it now, it says, shall find watching. So he said, blessed are the servants that's constant. Man, they're just watching. They're waiting for his return. Man, we need men that way, need ladies that way, need teenagers that way, need children that way. Martin Luther said this. He said, this is Martin Luther of the many, many years ago, not Martin Luther King or Junior or whatever, but this is Martin Luther, the old reformer, said this, even if I knew that I was going to die tomorrow, I would still live for God today. It's called being constant. So we ought to be constant with their life. Someone said this, if you're going to raise good kids tomorrow, you have to be constant today. One man was asked, if you knew that you were going to die before the night did fall, what would you do? He said, I would simply continue to hoe my garden. Being constant. A lady asked John Wesley one day, said, well, what if you knew that you were going to die at midnight tomorrow night? What would be your course of action? John Wesley said, well, supposing I was going to die tomorrow night at midnight, I would spend my time no different. He continued to reply. He said, it's all written plans, and I don't alter written plans. I'm scheduled to preach tonight at Little Chester. I will preach tonight at Little Chester. Tomorrow morning, I'm scheduled to preach at 5 a.m. I will rise promptly, walk with God, and preach at 5 a.m. Then I'm supposed to ride over to Dukesbury, and I'm supposed to preach there tomorrow afternoon to the societies, both in the afternoon and in the evening. I will fulfill my schedule. And then I'm supposed to go to the Wren Martin's house. They're expecting to entertain me, and I'm supposed to go there for family prayer and have a usual time together as normal. Then I'm going to retire to my room about 10 o'clock, and then I'll commit myself to the Lord as I lie down and wake up in glory. Now, can I tell you, that's called being constant. So we need Sunday school teachers, and we need the, can I tell you, watch this. We need people that take serving God just as serious as they take working a business. We need people in our day and time that says, hey, look, it doesn't matter what takes place, I'm going to be there. I'm just going to be there. I'm going to go soul winning. I'm going to pass out tracts. You know, don't you always hate to hear about the has-beens? There's nothing glorying, there's nothing satisfying, and there's nothing fulfilling hearing about somebody that was and is no more. Well, I used to work a bus route. Well, great. What's wrong with you now? Well, I used to teach a Sunday school class. What happened to you? Well, I used to love God, be faithful to church. Okay, where did you stumble? Where did you fall? Where did you backslide? See, we want to kind of pat everybody along. You know, we do. You don't hear brass preaching anymore because, after all, we're afraid we'll offend the brethren. Now, let it be known I love you in the name of the Lord, but get offended. You know, you ought to decide that Jesus Christ is first. You know, you ought to decide, hey, come on. By the way, one day, judgment seat of Christ, you'll be there, I'll be there. How are you going to stand? Well, I didn't feel good, so I didn't come to church. Get over it. Amen. Just get over it. You know what? I'll tell you what. By the way, are you listening to me? I know people that's got it worse than we do. They go to church. They're meeting in underground churches. They're in fear for their life. They're afraid somebody's going to sever off their head. And yet somebody says, I couldn't come to church because I sneezed. There's something not right about that. Well, I couldn't come to church because preacher's too loud. I remember one time, my wife, remember this, a pastor in Tennessee, and I told about this in one of the sermons most recent months when I preached, but we had no excuse Sunday. Man, it was great. I mean, I pastored in a farming town, and I'd be knocking doors, and Brother Kazar, there's men out there that said, well, I can't come to church because if I come to church, the roof will fall in. Out on visitation that day, I'd take hard helmets to those houses. And I say, listen, we're having no excuse Sunday. Here's your helmet. You said the roof would cave in. I'm prepared. I don't want you to get hurt. Here's your hard helmet. Come to church, no excuse. Come on. Somebody said, well, I can't stand it in your church. It gets hot. We had fans sitting on this side of the church where they could sit, and we handed out fans where they could fan themselves. People said, well, I can't come to church because it's too cold. We had heaters on this side of the church. So if you're hot, you sit over there. If you're cold, you sit over here. We passed out toothpicks for people who said, well, I can't stay awake in church. Said, here's a toothpick. Put it in your eye. Might hurt a little bit, but it's okay. You'll stay awake. We had an amen section. Somebody says, I'm bored. I had some guys I schooled, and I said, now here's what I'm going to get you to do. I'm going to get you to say amen. I'm going to teach you how to say amen. You three guys, ready? I'm going to teach you how to say amen. You ready? One, two, three.
Amen.
Oh, you got to do better than that. You're Baptist, okay? Here we go. Ready? Here we go. One, two, three. Wow. You know, and so we had guys that somebody said, well, man, I'm bored. We put them in the amen section. That way all these guys were trained, and I'd hold up my hand. They'd say,
amen.
Almost. Okay. And so, man, we took care. People said, I can't stay awake in church. And so, or I'm too sleepy. I can't get out of bed. I said, come. It's okay. We got a bed. We had beds lined up in the back of the church. That's where all my deacons slept that morning. I'm saying be constant. Be constant. We need people that's just going to decide that they're going to be constant and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever program you're in. Michelangelo was laying there, and he was painting the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. Man came up to him and said, I don't understand it. They're only going to see it as a distant. I mean, that's at a distant. They're going to see it. Why are you so meticulous? Why is it that you're going to such great struggle to make sure that everything is so perfect? They're not even going to see it. Why? He took his paintbrush, put it in the guy's nose, and he said, friend, as he's hollering, it doesn't matter what they see. I will. I will. I will. I would to God we'd have that type of attitude. Doesn't matter who gives the approval. Hey, God's looking on. Hey, you're supposed to be the one that's constant for Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, the Bible says, and he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. All right? There is salvation in just remaining, not the spiritual salvation, but a deliverance in that which is surviving. The president of IBM was asked, why are you a success? He said, I last one more day longer than the other guy. Somebody wrote this, one step won't take you very far. You have to keep walking. One step will not get you there fast. You have to keep walking. One inch will not make you any taller to get there faster. You just have to keep walking. One deed will not accomplish even more than others. You just have to keep walking. Somebody wrote this, and it tickled me when I read this, but talking about how the bumblebees would produce the honey. They said in order for a bumblebee to produce 1 pound of honey, it had to visit 56,000 clover heads. Each one of the clover heads would have 60 flower tubes. That means in order to produce 1 pound of honey, the bee had to visit 3,300,060 visits to produce 1 pound of honey. That means that the bee had to do all of that in order for you to have just the pound of honey. Now, can I tell you, that's called constant. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, even by perseverance, the snail reached the ark. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 25, the Bible says, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. It was Robert Bensley that said this. He said, it took me 15 years to discover I had no talent for writing, but after I discovered it, I was too famous to put down my pen. Constant. George Bernard Shaw said this. He said, when I was young, I observed that eight out of ten things that I did was a failure. So I decided to do the eight things that I failed in 10 times more. It's called being constant. Someone said, you don't have to stay awake all night in order to be a success. You simply have to stay awake during the day. Being constant. Someone said, poverty shall never overtake a diligent man. Plato wrote the first sentence of his New Republic 9 different ways before he was satisfied. Noah Webster spent 36 years in compiling information for the dictionary, crossing the Atlantic twice to gather material. Milton arose at 4 a.m. each and every day to get enough hours in to be able to produce his work called Paradise Lost. Gibson spent 26 years writing his book, The Decline of That Which Is the Fall of the Roman Empire. Bryant rewrote his poem, the masterpiece that he had, 99 times before it was published. Sir Walter Scott spent 15 hours a day at his desk, rising at 4 a.m., and he averaged one book every 2 months in production. Adam Clark spent 40 years in writing the commentary on the scriptures. George Bancroft spent 26 years in writing the life and the history of the United States of America. Sir Isaac Newton seldom went to bed before 2 a.m. He said, I've got too much to do. Now, wait a minute. Be constant. Let me give you just 4 statements. Can I do it? Statement number one, in the area of being a parent, be constant. Don't let your child run the home. Your kid starts wearing things they should not wear. You as a dad stand up and say, it's not happening here. Be constant. You decide to help them to read the Bible. You decide to help them to memorize scripture. You decide to help them to pray. Moms and dads need not the change when facing adversity in their own home. Moms and dads don't need to change the rules or the discipline. They don't need to change the dating rules or the family devotion time. They don't need to be succumbing to that which is the pressure of a teenager that's not wet behind the ears. You decide you'll be constant. Amen. Statement number one, in the area of parenting, simply decide, be constant. Ready? In the area of preaching, be constant. You that are young preachers, decide that you're not going to give a watered-down sermonette to Christianettes that's smoking on cigarettes, singing in whirly quartets, dressing like a bunch of majorettes, and having that which is a leaky type of faucet as they drive their nasty Corvettes. Be constant. Look, it would be nice for a preacher to say what he meant what he said, without apologizing 10 minutes before it and 10 minutes after it. College guy came up to me and said, preacher, you're going to get us in trouble. I said, what do you mean? He said, you're going to get us in trouble. He said, you're naming homosexuality as a sin. You're going to get us in trouble. I said, let the trouble come. We can't change the Bible. By the way, it is a sin. God created the man for the woman for the man. Never created the man for the man or the woman for the woman. Now, can I tell you, listen, somebody's got to say something. What's these little guys going to think? Come on. I mean, we got to train them. Come on, shake my hand. Here it is. We got to train them how to shake a man's hand. Hey, that's important. Oh, they got to learn it from somebody, somewhere. Come on. They've got to see it somewhere. They're not supposed to stand up and shake it like a girl. They're not supposed to do that. That's not it. No. Come on. Look, I'm telling you, man, we're living in a society that's gone nuts. Man, you got guys walking like girls and girls walk. You got guys that are wearing all the light-colored stuff, real passive stuff. You know, and they're real dainty. You can't hit them because they're going to wind up in Pennsylvania somewhere. and they're walking along. Say, preacher, what is that? That's gagging a maggot is what that is. Hey, we were always taught girls run, elbows in. We were always taught men run, elbows out. Come on. Girls, you have to be careful. Come on. Look, you don't want to marry God's going to wrestle you for supper. Well, I'm scared to go home to my wife. Well, why? She's going to beat me up. Hey, I'm saying this. I'm saying simply be constant as parents. Be constant in the preaching. Be constant. I believe that Martin Luther would not be welcome in most Lutheran churches today. I don't think John Wesley would be welcome in most Methodist churches today. I don't think that John Calvin would be welcome in most Presbyterian churches today. I don't believe that John the Baptist would be welcome in most Baptist churches today. Why? Because the preaching's not where it ought to be. And the preacher sometimes has to rear back, roll his sleeves up, and plow deep. Don't get mad at the preacher when he preaches practical things that helps. Don't get mad at that. I'm saying in the area of parenting, be constant. Area of preaching, be constant. You ready? In the area of soul winning, be constant. You said, preacher, I don't know anything about it. You got to start somewhere. Hey, I thank God. Last year, what, 200, we read it? 233 went out soul winning every week. Hey, great. Great. Just being constant. Passing out a Bible tract. Talking to people. Anybody can do that. Come on. If you don't do it, eventually you're going to regret not doing it. So why not do it? You know, why not take time to be able to give somebody a Bible tract, a gospel tract? Why not take time? Why not take the most important thing a person could ever do in their life? Hear the gospel, respond properly, and receive Jesus Christ. Why not make that? And by the way, you listen to me. The people I worry less about in a church causing trouble are soul winners. Because normally they got their eyes on the Lord and their eyes on helping people. Most preachers will tell you most troublemakers in the churches of America today are non-soul winners. They're the busybody people. They're busybodies. They're looking for ways to be offended. They're looking for ways to be hurt. If you check them out, but they're not caring about somebody else. It's all about them. Well, I'm bothered by this. Well, I think we ought to change this. Well, I'm not going. It's all about the I. Well, what about him? What about giving somebody the gospel? If you spend as much time reaching people with the gospel as you do about gossiping, it would cause probably you to have a revival that you've never seen before. I'm saying you simply get in the area of, so be constant. You ready? One last thing. Here it is. I'm done. Be constant in the area of living godly. Living godly. You have to teach your kids. Teach them. Teach them that smoking's wrong. How are they going to know? And by the way, you listen to me? Listen to me well. The Christian school is not responsible for raising your kid. Well, I'm going to leave it up to the Christian school to straighten my kid out. Why'd you resign? Straighten your own kid out. If a kid is right at home, he'll be right at school. If a kid's not right at home, probably not going to be right at school. Come on. Well, I hope the college. Can't wait till they go to college. We can wait. We've already seen what's coming. We can wait. I'm saying this. I'm saying be the mom and dad you're supposed to be. In the area of living godly. By the way, most people, somebody said your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. So So you've got to decide to walk it. You decide to walk it. Now, by the way, don't be somebody that's always law, 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 law. Well, you know, you don't do this because I said, go to your room. And then you turn on some wicked movie. Come on, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know, all of a sudden you get mad at them for yelling in the house and you're saying curse words. What are you doing? You know, you get mad at them for not doing this or not doing that, and then you're displaying impatience. You're raising your voice. You're hollering. You're yelling. You're throwing a fit. What are you doing? There's got to be that balance. There's got to be somebody that's... Now, you're not going to be by the way, listen to me, young people. Don't expect your parents to be perfect. You're never going to find a perfect parent. Come on. Well, you know, my parents got problems. I know. You're sitting next to them. But you're not going to have a perfect parent. Well, I wish my parent knew as much as I did, and the parents, thanking God, they don't. Hey, we're living in such a day, Doc, we are. We're living in such a day of sarcasm, and we're living in such a day where children just want to do what they want to do. Instead of asking your parents if you can go somewhere, you tell them. And yet you still live in their home. There's something not decent about that. You're living in their home. They ought to be able to tell you, I want you in at 9:31 and a half. And you get there early. Hey, y'all... Okay, I'm going to rabbit trail it. Here we go. You ready? You start liking a boy. You see a boy. You start liking him. He's walking, pitter-patter. Eyes bugging out 3 inches in front of the nose. You know, sweat coming out, perspiring. You see him, the boy. You're thinking, got to have him, got to have him, got to have him. Knight in shining armor. He's mine. He's mine. He's mine. And then you go to your dad and say, Dad, what do you think? He says, oh, man, he's an idiot. Stay away from him. Now, here's what you do if you're not careful. You start to sneak around your authority to get your way because you're led by the flesh. When you got a mom and dad's trying to protect your hide. Why don't you say to dad, hey, dad, thanks for the insight. Man, I don't want to marry an idiot. I'm not going to do that. Come on. But you guys are the same way. You see a girl and she's got the wiggle. Come on. You look at her and say, oh, oh, oh. Can I tell you the wiggle will wiggle away one day and be no more? Come on. I mean, we all change. We change. I lay stuff down. I can't remember where I put it for 3 days. My son showed me this new device. Brother Crutcher, you need one of these. My son showed me a new device. Jared showed me a new device. And you put it on your keys, and you have it on your iPhone. So when you lose your keys, you just go down there and press, boom, truck key. And all of a sudden, it goes beep, beep, beep. You can follow the beep. Right. And find the keys. I think it's one of the neatest devices. Come on. I'm going to put it on my wife when we walk through the mall. What store did she go in? Beep, 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 beep. Okay, I'm not going home tonight. I'm saying this. I'm saying, listen, listen. Be constant. Be constant. Just be constant. Well, you know, I come to church and I don't get something out of it every time. Huh, must be your fault. God's word doesn't change. God's word is always good. It's always good. You always find a gold nugget somewhere if you look for it hard enough. I'm saying simply be constant. Some of you need to get around the altar tonight and say, dear God, in 2016, I'm going to try to be more constant than I was in 2015. Some of you need to get around an altar tonight and just go back and do an old-fashioned rededication. Just an old-fashioned rededication. We say, look, God, I'm going to be faithful to Sunday school, preaching. I'm going to get in my Bible every day. I'm going to pray. I'm going to talk to you every day. Man, I'm going to try and live right. I'm going to pass that track. I'm going to go soul winning. Some of you just need to recommit, re-sign up. Just re-sign up. Why? Because God's looking for constant people. You could do that tonight.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.